This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm, Walt Disney Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, DC Comics, or any other mentioned franchise or brand. The opinions expressed are of each individual and solely do not reflect PopX Cast. Sit back, relax, put on your Ninja Turtle onesie, and warm up your chimichangas. This is PopX Cast. You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, guys, welcome to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke.
And I am Austin Burke, your residential Appalachian geek at heart. We'd like to thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. If you missed last week's episode 13 with special guest Chris Wink, co-founder of the Blue Man Group, be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes now. Click that subscribe button and catch up. Oh, and by the way, while you guys are there, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We certainly appreciate that. Joe, what's going on, man?
Holy cow, dude. That was like natural. It's like, oh my God. And over here, we got the weather.
What can I say, Joe? I am a broadcast major. You know, that's what I do.
You were just so fleek, my little
thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Oh my God, it's crazy. And the same genetic pool is just weird.
It is weird, but it works.
It does.
We flow well together, Joe. Joe, I missed last week's show, man. I apologize.
So real quickly, right off the bat, are you okay?
I'm fine. Listen, little fender bender. Everything's cool. The guy didn't stop, kind of drove off and just left me hanging, and I didn't get any information, so I don't know who it was. Yeah, basically. It was a hit and run. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's...
He just left, okay? And my car is a little wobbly on the side, but, you know.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was great. What a weekend.
Oh man, I tell you, this has been a very, very fun week, especially for all of us here at PopX, because we, of course, this is episode number 14, Captain America. But before we even get into that, we have a lot of nuggets just to throw out for you guys right off the top of the bat. And we're going to be talking about the success of the 2016 Free Comic Book Day. Now, Austin, yeah. Did you get a chance to go to this?
Man, I didn't. I didn't heard a lot about it. I didn't even know it existed, okay, until you told me about it this year. But, dude, what did I miss?
Okay.
What did I miss?
Think like a con, like a mega con or a convention, okay, or something like that, Comic Con, but just kind of wrapped up into one comic book store where everybody kind of dresses up as cosplay. There's free comic books being distributed. Man. Fans are just playing games and having fun. It was a whole, if you've never seen, I actually took a couple pictures here. This is from our local shop here in Central Florida called Heroes Landing, who will happen to be on the episode on the show coming up on episode 16.
Ooh.
Talking to the owner of Heroes Landing, nice, comic book shop. But this is, as you can see, the kids are lining up. There's all the comics that are given out. I mean, the line was literally all the way out the back.
That
of the
place theater. Is bumping.
It's bumping.
That's amazing.
He was making some sales, getting some profit, had a little thing going on there, and it was really awesome. And I think Lindsay, over on the PopX account, Lindsay took her kids. Now, as we all know, Lieutenant Badger here at the show. But check that. Look at that Hulk, man.
Oh, man.
Isn't that awesome?
What an experience for the kids, though, just to go and see all those people gathered and people in costumes. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Homemade cosplay-ready costumes. Oh, look at that. Darth Vader, oh, Stormtroopers, and a Jedi. I mean, Lindsay has got to be one proud mama. You know, exposing your kid to, like, geek culture is just like, what? It's so awesome.
Dude, start them young, man. Start them young.
Look at that face painting. She's in the got a certificate of the Jedi Training Academy.
She is having the time of her life right there.
I say so, man. Oh, and so that was free comic book day. And just before we move on to the next.
Oh, what'd you get? What'd you get?
All right. So I'm going to save that one for the last one. But I did happen to get. Now, we all know Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Civil War 2.
Mm. Okay.
Supervillain. Okay. Thanos.
Heist.
All right. So this actually features War Machine and Captain Marvel.
Okay. There. Awesome.
So the next one I picked up was from the DC side, Suicide Squad number one with Holly.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Just in time for the movie. Ah.
And last but not least, Captain America, Steve Rogers, number one.
Oh, man. I've heard great, great things about that.
So Steve Rogers returns as Captain America, as you can see right there, Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Amazing.
And that's a brand new series coming out. And everybody's like, oh, he's dead. He's dead. No, he's not dead. He's still around.
It's the comic books. They never die in the comics.
I know. So what do you have in line for us, Austin, like from the Russo brothers? I mean, I've heard some rumors about with everything going on with Captain America Civil War, they were thinking about doing some stuff with.
So the Russo brothers, right, who directed Winter Soldier and Civil War, have confirmed that they are retitling Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, right? So apparently, and I figured this would happen eventually, because Part 1s and Part 2s, they never seem to, there's just something about them, they leave a bad taste in my mouth, right? Like the Twilights and the Hunger Games, which is a series that I like a lot, but Mockingjay Part 1 and Part 2 was right?
Drawn out.
And you think of a Part 1 and a Part 2 as one movie that is separated into two parts.
The Deathly Hallows, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Exactly. Exactly. Part 2 being a lot better than Part 1.
I mean, I know when J.K. Rowling originally wrote the book. I mean, the book was like this thick. I'm like, oh, my God, that thing is
huge. But this kind of tells us that it's going to be two separate movies as opposed to... So
it's no longer going to be Infinity War.
What could they retitle it,
though? It makes a lot of sense because Thanos has already got the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Because we saw that at the end of, what is it, Guardians of the Galaxy or Ant-Man, where he just said, I'll just take it myself.
I'll do this myself.
There's not going to be a war for the gauntlet. He's already got the gauntlet.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's just Avengers Infinity.
Avengers Infinity, man. And then, but what would, if they're retitling, correct, would they call part one maybe Infinity and then call part two like something war, like, because you would think part one is going to be the build up and part two is going to be the
I just can't seem to place it. I like Infinity though.
I do too. I think they'll keep the Infinity name for at least one of them.
Got that, but that's a Infinity tattoo. That's really interesting. That's really interesting. And then we just learned that this past week. I saw that come out on Cinema Blend. I think it was that was posted the topic about that, and I was like, oh man, that's interesting, because they've been building up for Infinity War for so long. Now they're retitling it, which is fine. I mean, they're allowed to do whatever they want to do as long as it's an awesome
as movie. Long as the Russo brothers are making the movie, I'm happy.
Me too. And so also this past week, we an image of the new Power Ranger outfits were leaked on.
You mean the Iron Man outfits?
Dude, look at this. Seriously.
What? This is.
It's like.
Clearly.
It's like fight putties by day and you battle Loki by night. It's just like they're all like. Oh my God, seriously. I was like looking at that. I was like, that is the craziest looking getup I've ever seen in my life.
I'd like to see Kevin Feige's face after he first saw the outfits. I'd just like to see what he.
Well, now, see, that's not the actual outfits. The actual outfits are, let me see if I can pull them up for you right quick. They're over here.
Yeah.
Those. I found a couple of memes on
that. That's a hilarious picture, though.
Isn't it great? But I was looking around this week, and I was on some of the show things, and I was like, oh, man, that is a funny one. I want to include that. But here's the actual image of the Power Ranger.
Like, you've even got the chest piece in the middle.
It's like, you know, you've got the thing there. What? I don't know. It looks like Ultraman meets Iron Man. I swear to you, that's exactly what it looks like. Ultraman
that's what it is. Iron Man.
I'm not lying to you. I think that's like Mark 45, 6, 7, 8.
And what were they thinking? I mean, what they're just trying to cater. Oh, man. I love what are they thinking?
Here. See, like, this is what we see. And this is actually what. Crashed that dummy Black Panther.
What a terrible reveal. Hey, no. Do you know what a good reveal was, Joe?
What was a good reveal?
They cast the new Han Solo.
Oh, they did.
They did.
Well, I'm looking at the picture.
Okay.
All right, so we got Alden. Alden Ehrenreich. And he's cast as the new Han Solo. I think I said that. Ehrenreich. So that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Do you know what? I can see it.
I can see it too. If the stocks were high, would you buy or sell?
You know what? I didn't love the idea of a Han Solo movie until I learned that the directors were the guys who did the Jump Street movies and the Lego movie.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing who they cast, and apparently this guy did a great job in the movie that came out a couple months ago, Hail Caesar, even though that movie was kind of panned. But apparently he stole the entire movie. So, yeah, man, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. It's called Hail Caesar, and it's the same guys who did No Country for Old Men.
And so the director did also the Lego movie, you said?
The director of the Han Solo movie, he did.
Okay.
I think it's Chris Miller and Phil Lloyd, or Chris Lloyd and Phil Miller, one of those two. But they're like best friends. And they did 21 Jump Street and the Lego movie, and I trust them, man. I trust Han Solo in their hands.
All right. Well, yeah, obviously we have to, right? We don't have a choice.
We have no choice. Yeah.
Also, Marvel this past week kind of gave us another green light, and they just threw this one literally off the side from nowhere. We didn't see this coming, but Black Widow has been green lit for her own solo.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because we'll be talking a little bit more about Black Widow and Black Panther a little later on the show, which is the image that you see here. But it's been lit, so I'm curious to see what the backstory is going to be. We kind of saw a little bit of backstory in Age of Ultron, her in the, I don't want to say like a mansion type training.
Yeah,
it was her as a kid, you know, growing up in that kind of environment. So we kind of saw that growing in. But so what do we got coming up at the end of the month? What's going on here?
All right, so I mean, we go from one superhero property to the other. May 27th, X-Men Apocalypse, right? You've got the next installment in the Bryan Singer franchise. And I know I just watched Civil War twice, but I'm already pumped for this movie.
Yeah, the trailer, they dropped the trailer at the beginning of the movie. So it was definitely part of that. And it was, I've already seen it on YouTube. I mean, YouTube kind of spoils the whole trailer thing anymore these days.
They do.
Seen it before you get to the cinema. But, and that's another topic for another day, but
takes away from the experience.
Takes away from the whole experience. It does. Okay. But I think that this movie is going to just blow some minds, and I'm really optimistic about it. I'm going in with a clean slate. I'm going to have to watch First Class and, what was the other one with the Rogue
Days Cut? Of Future Past.
Future Past, and then the Rogue Cut, of course, which is another release that they did. But also coming up on June 3rd, we got the second of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise, Out of the Shadows, that will be making its cinematic debut on June the 3rd.
Joe, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the first movie? Because we've not really talked about this.
Okay, I enjoyed the first movie. I thought Shredder kind of looked like, Shredder was overkill. It was just too
a Transformer?
Shredder looked like a Michael Bay Transformer.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I agree
with that.
It was overkill. I mean, I don't.
But you know what? It was a fun movie, though. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining. I'll leave it at that.
That's about all I can get.
But all right, so we got a fourth window open now.
Oh,
we're going to be inviting somebody. We got a brand new segment to the show this week and future weeks. Here we go. I got to say it right out of the bat. The sausage fest has ended. We got female power here. Female power.
Here we go.
Okay, though. We got Lindsay Badger coming in the house here.
Ooh.
Showing us some of the nerd nuggets.
Sorry to crash the sausage fest party, guys.
Oh, man.
I got Mike over here in the other window, too. So it's just like you got three dudes and one girl. So it's just like weird. Something's weird here. But Lindsay does so much right off the bat. I want to say this right before I let her have the limelight here. But she does so much. She has organized our our sheets for our shows. She has done so much research and just organizing. She is an organizing machine. I mean, she's a blessing. I couldn't say much more about her, but I could say a lot more about her. I could keep going on, but we don't have enough time and hours in the day. But Lindsay, what is your new segment? What are we going to be doing here on PopX?
We are starting a new segment called Nerd Nugget. And ooh, it's going nugget. To be... It's so funny every time I hear it. It's going to be random obscure facts about all the things nerd and awesomeness that we talk about all the time on PopX. But sometimes we focus on...
Sorry, I may randomly play that throughout the remainder of the show.
Okay, that's totally fine. So usually we'll probably focus on one main nugget, but to this week I have two because we just couldn't decide because they were so awesome. Okay, so nerd nugget number one.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
He's got a nugget.
Michael Jackson, the king of pop, wanted to play Spider-Man in a movie so badly that he tried to buy the Marvel Comics franchise in the 90s.
Whoa!
Mind blown. I know, right?
Michael Jackson what? By Marvel?
Yeah. In an interview with MoviePhone, Stan Lee actually confirmed that, so it's a little bit off the hinge. Also, in that little article I was reading about, Michael Jackson also wanted to play the role of Xavier from X-Men. And he really wanted to play Jar Jar Binks in Star Wars.
You got some mutants in here.
Yeah, but could you guys possibly imagine what the comic book franchise would be today if Michael Jackson had actually bought Marvel?
Oh, it would be a whole different ball game.
It would be so crazy.
And then I would never see Hugh Jackman doing the old crotch grab and just, you know, ow. Boy.
Getting a little bit of Silver Surfer moonwalking going on, maybe.
Hey guys, this is Michael Jackson.
Hey guys. So yeah, that was a little bit of a sticker shock fact, I think. Okay. Ready for nugget two?
I'm ready for nugget two. Bring it.
Cue the music.
Okay, here you go.
Oh my God, it's a nerd nugget.
Okay, I just had to hear it one more time. All right, Chris Evans, better known as Captain America, or Steve Rogers, he declined the role 3 times before agreeing to take it on. He was scared to take on such a big role, especially after coming out of another superhero series so quickly. Yeah. So he decided to just kind of not choose on fear and just jump in head first and take it on. And he said that looking back, that was the best decision he could ever make. So that right there are your two nerd nuggets of the week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, it's a nerd nugget.
And I really don't think that Channing Tatum would have made a very good Captain America. He was actually considered to play the role.
Really?
You're kidding. Yeah. Wow.
Nope.
Ooh.
Mm.
And also, the Sebastian Stan that plays Bucky was also considered as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I can see him because he's kind of got, but he looks so much better as Winter Soldier.
There was a few others thrown in the pot too, but those were the two that really stand out to me. And I was like, no, they can't play that. I'm glad that it worked out.
Without Chris Evans, I mean, he is Captain America, you know, and I can't.
But he also is Johnny Blaze, flame on.
That's true.
So. He's been on fire and wielded a shield, so he can do whatever he wants to, in my book.
He can do anything.
But all right, so Lindsay, thanks for the nerd nuggetism.
You're welcome.
So you want to hang out with us for the show, or you want to take this
off? Okay. Sure, we can hang out.
Okay, so did you see what I just did there? Just did the old, just did the thing with the hand. Okay.
All right,
So we are officially going to be going into now the Captain America Civil War section of the podcast, the part that you guys have been waiting for. And I want to take this time and thank everybody for joining us in the chat. If you're in the chat, be sure to share this, maybe invite some people and let them come over here to the live show and see the live show. I know that you probably hear this on the podcast over on iTunes and Google Play. Thank you so much for doing that. Just want to remind you that we do record this live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, over on blab.im. So if you're tuning us in tonight on the recorded, welcome. If you're watching us tonight to live, hey, how are you doing? Welcome to the live show. All right. So, all right. In the opening segments of Civil War, you know, we got to talk about a couple of things. Now, last week we did a Twitter poll. Right off the bat, I got to drop. We had a little bit of a pretty decent response on the Twitter poll. Now, I got it pulled up twice here, but we had over close to 40 votes. And coming in at 62% of you guys said that you were for Team Iron Man.
Wow.
And 38% yes. said that you were for Team Captain America. Now, I don't know if that says anything about Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans, or I don't know where these numbers came from, but this was a random Twitter poll. So we can see who some of the people were that voted, but I have to say, man, I'm actually impressed. Over close to 40 votes on just a random two-day poll.
And Iron Man pulled it up in the end because at the beginning, Captain was winning by quite a bit.
Yeah, Captain was winning, but then all of a sudden, where did the Iron Man come in from? I mean,
Robert Downey Jr. fans. They just flock out of nowhere.
So, Joe, what team did you decide?
Well, here. This is my team.
Team Cap.
Team Cap. Austin?
I was Team Cap going in, and I was Team Cap leaving.
Yeah.
I'm Iron Man. I love Iron Man. I love Robert Downey Jr. and how he plays the character. I love the snarkiness of the personality of the whole, you know, Stark package is just amazing. I love it.
I agree.
It's the package.
Stark package. Like,
from head to toe.
Well, you know, it's pretty cool that Captain America Civil War soared to 75.3 million on Friday. For the opening day at the box office, Captain America Civil War is expected to have the fifth biggest opening weekend ever with a total of 180 million. It would trail just the openings of Star Wars Force Awakens at 247 million, Jurassic World at 208 million, Marvel's The Avengers at 207 million, and then Marvel's The Avengers Age of Ultron at 191 million. So some pretty big numbers coming out of the gate. It's going to be one of the fifth biggest openers of all time. Looking like Disney's got some major hits on their hands. So Austin, before we get into some of the notes we have, what did you think of the film overall?
Let's just say this. I was hoping I would like it just as much as I loved Winter Soldier, because Winter Soldier is actually my favorite Marvel movie. I am still debating on whether or not, you know, I don't know which one I like more. Civil
Can
War.
Can I interrupt you real quick before we dive in? Yeah. We have to say that there's spoiler alerts big time in this show.
Yes. So we're going to go to the point of no return here in a moment. So when we start talking about this and you guys are like, not watched the film yet, and you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to go see Captain America Civil War. I'm so excited. And you listen to our podcast. All right. So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that's it. We're going all in right now. So this is we're going to be diving in straight to the details, the juiciness, the tidbits, the Easter eggs, the fun, the fans. And so you're still on the fence, Austin, with Civil
War? I don't know, because I love Winter Soldier, but to me, Civil War just hit everything that I needed it to hit. It did everything that I wanted it to do.
Yeah.
And the directing for me was what stood out about the film. I love the Russo brothers' directing style. I love it. And they have my two favorite films in the Marvel franchise. Absolutely.
And they're doing Infinity War, which we talked about just a few minutes ago. So right off the bat, it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So some of my favorite moments. And I wanted to be one of those nerds in the theater, like writing down notes as I'm watching. Oh, they said that word. Oh, cool. that Easter egg. Cool. You know, and like, you know, it's almost like I need to see it like three times just to get all the Easter
eggs. Yeah.
But I've only saw it once. So, Austin, you got two over me.
I've seen it twice, man.
Mike over here in PopX Wendell, he's only seen it once as well. So, okay. Some of the things I did find, though, and I picked up on them immediately when they were said on screen. And some people, if you're not in the comics as deep as I am, or as deep as the traditional person, then it would probably just fly over your head and you wouldn't notice it. One of the cool ones was Timely. And it's when Tony and Steve wanted to go sign the act with the two Timely pins from 1941. Did you notice he said timely? Well, that was a throwback and a reference. Easter egg alert to when Marvel Comics in 1941 was called Timely Comics. So look at that. He's even got the logo. Michael, I love you. That's amazing. That guy is a wealth of information.
These guys do their homework. I mean, the Russo bro, they're as into comic books as we are, and they know, like, when they're making a movie, I'm going to throw in every reference I can. And it's just an Easter egg to all of us fans who know that stuff and love that stuff.
Absolutely. And it was just to see that. And it's a nice nod to Marvel's humble beginnings as a comic book franchise. And so Baron Zemo, what did you think about him, Austin? Do you know him prior to
the- I know him a little bit from the comics, but what was the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Did you ever watch that animated show?
It's been a long time. Was that on XD? Disney?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Baron Zemo, to me, in that show, was a great character.
Yeah.
Right? And I knew just that about him going into the movie, but he was a different character than he was in any of the prior stories that I know. You know,
here is kind of from, he's not from, how shall we say, the Hydra origins.
Yes.
He's from the Sokovia origins. So we find out later, and we'll talk about that as we get into the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He's deeply rooted to the tragedy of Age of Ultron when Sokovia was destroyed. He's deeply rooted, but a lot of us know Baron Zemo. I don't know if Mike has the image, but he's actually got a purple face in comics.
Yeah.
He's actually a really evil looking dude. He's pretty grimacing looking and intimidating. But he had this accident with some kind of like, there it is. There's Baron Zemo from the comics. He had some kind of like glue and adhesive accident, and his face is totally permanently mangled. Think like Deadpool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He always wears this mask, and definitely connected to Hydra. And a lot of times he's known as Baron Zemo, not Colonel. Yeah. From the movie. But I thought that was a nice nod. They took a character from the Marvel franchise and just kind of expanded it and put it into something that they needed, that character, that one role. And I think Zemo for them fit that role for the Captain America dynamic. And it was really cool. I don't know if you noticed this, Austin, but at the end of the movie, when Tony Stark and Captain America are fighting, and Zemo was up there talking with the Black Panther and Widow, you know what I'm saying? Up in the prison.
Yeah.
When he like went backwards and he kind of faded into a shadow, it kind of almost like a purple silhouette of his face.
Wow. Okay. I didn't notice that.
Kind of a nice nod of his former presence, of what he used to look like in the comics.
But do you know what? They kept him. Spoiler. They kept him alive. Right. So he's there. And usually Marvel, the villains usually, you know, they bite the dust, right? But this guy's still out there. Yeah, so they could definitely use him in future installments.
What was a couple of the other ones that you have over there on the list? I think that we were talking about the prisons, but...
The Raft, right? This is the prison that's featured at the end of the film, taken straight from the comics. But here's the funny thing. It is not from the Civil War comic. It's actually from the Fantastic Four. It's called Prison 42, and it's associated with the Negative Zone, which is used to like incarcerate the people who don't sign the Superhero Registration Act. And in the movie, there's a penitentiary that's somewhat like the Raft, and it appeared in Alias number 27, and it's filled with supervillains like Baron Zemo and Purple Man from Jessica Jones, and
Purple Man, right?
Yeah. Oh, we love Purple Man, man. He's one of my favorite villains. But here it houses the Avengers who refuse to sign the Sokovia Accords. And I thought that was very well done in the movie. And seeing all of your favorite heroes in those prison cells, it hits you hard. It hits you really hard, man.
It was really neat to see that they recreated the Raft in this way as kind of like a hyper superhero, super meta human slash prison for those people who are not the normal race of what you would call a normal person, but have super extra powers. And so this is kind of their holding cell. And we actually see at the end of it, there's some superheroes there. The Ant-Man's in there. Hawkeye's there. Scarlet Witch is hanging out in there.
Sad to see, man. Just
weird, you know.
Locked up.
guys don't need to be there, but they were there in the comics as well, locked up and away. And yeah. And so the prison too, also prison 42, which is the prison where they go into and they see the five other Winter Soldiers. That was also from the comics. That was, the, like you said, as a Fantastic Four. And that's where that originated from. So everything that they've done is straight directly out of the comics. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was Prison 38. So we got Carlos over in the chat here. He's doing the factoid checking.
Nice.
Residential.
Nice.
But
it's keeping us on point. I like it. I like it.
Black Panther.
Awesome. Oh, dude, listen. By far, my favorite character in that movie. I mean, he took that movie by storm, and he was in it a lot more than I expected him to be in it. I thought he'd have more of a Spider-Man-like role, but he was in a lot of the film, and he was even there during the fight scene at the end, and he has some of my favorite moments, some of my favorite lines, but the cool thing about him is he didn't mess around. All right, no jokes. He was going for Bucky, and yeah. he wanted to get rid of Bucky because of what he did, and I love that.
Yeah, he had a mission. He had a goal. And very clear. It was very prominent. And there was, I don't know if you noticed, that there was a little bit of a backstory there with his father, Chikala, who, Chikaka. I'll get it out. Chikaka. That moment when you can't say nothing and you're like, what am I trying to say here? Chikaka. Chikaka. This
come
is funny, funny by the second, I swear. But his father, who was a king of Wakanda. He was the king, and he was murdered.
So was he a Black Panther prior to this Black Panther?
I think so. And okay. The reason why I say he, the prince, who now is the king, Black Panther,
yes,
took the ring off of his father and put it on. Which is kind of a nice nod to the mysticism and the magic, because Black Panther can actually channel dead people.
Oh, yeah.
We know that from the comics. So, and when he said the line, well, it's not over, to Black Widow, in reference to his father, we may see his father again.
It is, apparently in the comics, from what I was reading, in the comics, his father becomes like King of the Dead, and he can channel his father using the ring whenever he needs to. So that's really cool.
That ring was awesome that they put that in there. Such a great Easter egg. I'm so glad that they built it up. And I understand they done some gentle nods, because they already knew going in that most people who are going to see Civil War already have a general knowledge of Black Panther.
Yes.
And so no need right now to drop all that information into one movie. That's why they're going to get the backstory movie coming up, I think in 2018 or something like that.
2018. It's the director of Creed, and if you didn't see Creed, Creed is a phenomenal movie, so I think that movie is going to be very well taken care of.
Oh, awesome. Man. And they couldn't have picked a better dude to play the Black Panther. I'm telling you.
He is Black Panther. And that accent, man. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got it down. So what did you think of Ant-Man?
Oh! Okay. Are we talking Ant-Man? Or are we talking Giant Man, Joe?
I don't know, man.
Dude, when he
hit that button and he went,
oh, that was see. I was hoping we would get that, but I was like, you know what? They'll save this for the Ant Man movie. No, man, the Russo brothers are like, we're putting that in there, and he just hit that button. And cool, it was great.
The battle, dude. The battle was going on all around him, and here's this giant Ant Man or Giant Man.
Giant man
going around this entire airport scene, and he's like 40 foot tall. And
the slow, how they did the slow movements, right? They played gravity, I think, in a way that
so
kind of made it more believable to us, right? As an audience,
it was
phenomenally done. Oh gosh,
it's gorgeous. It was definitely a
oh my god, it's a nerd nugget.
You know what I'm saying? It was just like, oh my god,
transformative. Oh my god.
See, now if he would have sounded like that as Giant Man, that would have been great.
That would have been,
that would have been
a little weird. But that was definitely awesome. It was good to see Ant-Man return and in that. I'm loving
this picture up here, by the way. It looks like he went to Chipotle.
Wow.
Just saying.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Sorry, I didn't want to go there, but
no, it's I was time we gotta get there. You know?
flow, is that real? I think honestly, in reality, because the smaller you are, the quicker you can move, but the larger you are, the more gravity you have to fight. So you got a larger mass moving through gravitational force.
Yeah.
So gravity and size, you're going to be moving smaller. I mean, slower. I get it out in the middle. Anyway, so, hopefully.
How good is Paul Rudd? How good is Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd.
He's amazing.
To be in, man.
He's so funny. I love him to death.
He's awesome sauce. I was definitely pouring some Chipotle sauce on that. you got some stuff for Falcon from us, don't you?
Dude, Red Wing. But not the Red Wing that we know in the comics, right? This is the robotic drone, right? It's the drone that Sam Wilson stores in the back of his armor, all and right. He uses it to, like, scout environments and, like, collect data and whatnot. Because in the comics, right, he's an actual Falcon. If they would have done that in the movies, it would have been a little too much.
It would have been weird.
Like, yeah, and he has, doesn't he have, like,
all right, Red Wing.
Look at that.
My honor.
Doesn't he have, like, telepathy with the bird in the comics? Am I correct with that? Like, a telepathic link or something like that?
Falcon.
Yeah. Well, it's weird.
Kind of interesting backstory there. But when he actually got he purchased the bird in Brazil.
That's
anyway, off the tangent, but I'm really glad that they brought Red Wing into a more modern thing.
Yes.
As a drone, as an attachment, as a sidekick to
and it worked. It worked.
Really awesome to see that. And so moving on with the show notes here, I have a really cool one here. Did you guys get the chemistry between Vision and Scarlet Witch over the paprika? Do you see that?
Man, they're setting up, right? They're setting up exactly what goes down in the comics because they have a relationship. They have a romance. Yeah. And you saw in this movie, you see a spark. And at the end, Vision, he kind of loses focus on what's going on. And this is from
old school. Look at that.
Yeah. It's going down, dude. It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
So Scarlet Witch and Vision in the late 70s, early 80s had this love thing going on. Ended up having two sons, Thomas and Jefferson, I think it was, Maximoff, and who basically were like little spawns of Satan pretty much because they inherited their father and mother's power. And it was a weird love triangle dynamic. But fans ate it up. They gobbled it up. And I think here's a picture of, look.
The little kids. Oh. They're so normal.
So weird. That's such a weird picture.
This is right out of the comics. So it was interesting to see the Russo brothers over the dinner. He is a robot. Vision is a robot. We got a question over the chat. Vision was a robot. If you've seen Age of Ultron, he was actually manufactured by Tony Stark. Banner. So he's a really cool character. Walk through walls, metaphysical. He could just walk through people and manifest anywhere he wants to go. Think of a spirit, but you can touch him. He's physical, but he's a robot.
But you know what? As the movie progressed, you could see him slowly become more and more human.
And what was with the clothes?
He was wearing clothes. He was hugging on Scarlet Witch. I'm telling you, dude, he's just slowly
making food with paprika and stuff. There's like a little
he wants to be human.
Up. So
he wants to be a real boy.
He wants to do big boy stuff, I guess, you know. So that was interesting to see that dynamic so soon because we just saw Vision in Age of Ultron. That's the first time we've ever saw Vision.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to be able to see the Russo brothers kind of say, oh, you know what? We're going to do a little gentle nod to the 70s and 80s love love. I don't want to say triangle, but the love thing that happened between Scarlet Witch and Vision. And that was kind of neat.
Do you think they could go that route though? Do you think they could end up at that place? I mean, that's far fetched, but
if they do, it would have to be. I would like to see it go differently because, you know, from comics to cinematics, you always get that different translation. For example, like we were just talking about Baron Zemo. In the comics, he's this purple dude that's almost like Red Skull.
Oh, yeah.
But in this movie, he's kind of more of an antagonist, if you see what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
If they were to have children, I would like to see those children be like more of the mutant flair, more of like oh, this is where so and so comes in, or this is where maybe I don't want to say Adam Warlock, because that's Guardians of the Galaxy, but something along those lines, some character we're not even thinking of, but anyway.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Hey, you know what was really cool, Joe?
What's that?
The Star Wars reference that Spider-Man dropped in the middle of the battle.
What do you think about that?
Oh my goodness, man. In the theater that I was in, we got cheers when he brought Empire Strikes Back. There were people cheering.
Nice.
Amazing. We're applauding. Oh my God, this is like that one time in Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, when they come around with the...
I mean, it was perfect, though. I mean, who better to drop a reference like that than Spider-Man? It was Spider-Man
so quirky by nature. You know what I'm saying? He's just like, he just doesn't want to shut up. He's so talkative and so animated. But we all know the famous scene from Star Wars when, you know, the spear is going around the AT-AT. Well, let's just say Spider-Man figured out how to fight against the giant man. The famous battle scene. It's like,
Peter Parker's a smart guy, man. He figured that out. He was like, you guys know the old... And I love how at first he called it that old movie, right? He had to think of the name. That's amazing.
Which happens to be a Disney movie now.
Yes, it is. You know, they could... Technically, they could cross that over if they wanted to, right? They could.
Yeah.
Throw Mickey Mouse in there. You've got a movie.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That sounds scary.
The frog, Han Solo.
I'm scared right now.
And the Incredible.
Oh, hey, Spider-Man. Oh, my
God. Horrible. But that was funny, though, actually, as a matter of fact. But there was another really cool movie reference that we're going to get to here in a minute. But I want to move on to the next one down. Did you guys notice that the words Deck 23, when the Winter Soldier was taken to the prison?
Yeah.
It was taken down to 23. Now, if that means nothing to you, then you probably aren't a Walt Disney World fan or a Walt Disney fan by nature. But if you are a Disney fan, you know the D23 is the annual Disney fan club, and D23 is where Disney unveils pretty much the whole year.
Everything. What they're doing. Everything. So
if they're doing movies, if they're doing theme park stuff, whatever, that's where it happens. So
But why the number 23, Joe?
Well, that's because 1923 is when Walt Disney founded Walt Disney Pictures.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
That's when Mr. Walt himself began creating Steamboat Willie and all those famous classics that we
nice. All have
known to love over the years. But so we're talking about a couple things here leading up to kind of the climactic part of it. Watched a cool film last night about Walt before Mickey. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Nice. Stacy. Hey, Stacy, how you doing over in the chat? Joining us right now. The Stark's death, Austin.
Oh, man. So in Winter Soldier, Black Widow and Cap, they discover all of the secrets that Hydra were keeping, right? And you see a little tease
when they turn that Zola, what is it?
Armin Zola.
Yeah, that's
he's
when they
get ready to activate those weapons, right? And he's got them like captured, and he's telling him the plan and trying to stall him. Yeah. And basically, he unveils everything because he thinks I'm about to take these guys out. So you know, what's it matter? But Cap sees that Tony's parents died in a car accident, and basically, it occurs to him that hey, this was the Winter Soldier. Like he knows, right? Mm-hmm. And he knows the entire time. Yeah. And then the movie, you're teased throughout the entire thing, seeing that car crash and seeing what goes down. And at the end, you learn that was the Winter Soldier did that.
And the really cool connection here, and Mike just put the slide over.
Yeah.
This particular headline is from Iron Man number 1 over 8 years ago.
No way.
So Howard and Maria Stark die in car accident. Now, 8 years ago, they had no idea that Winter Soldier was going to be tied to this. But it is a wonderful nod.
That's amazing.
The entire franchise is together.
That's so cool.
Mike, can you show the other one from Winter Soldier? Switch back to the other newspaper article. Now, that one is from Winter Soldier.
Wow.
Going through the bunker, and they see that snapshot. Howard and Maria Stark die in a car accident. And that's from a different thing. But notice it's December 17th, 1991. the Starks pass away, and we find out, like you said, that definitely Winter Soldier was hired, or shall we say, programmed,
yeah,
to take out the deed. And, that's
you know what though, I've heard a lot of complaints about the movie, not a lot, a few, yeah, saying that, you know, Tony Stark had just made a joke 5 minutes earlier. Why did that make him snap? Why did that turn him against Winter Soldier when he was all buddy-buddy with him just now? But my argument to that is he just watched his parents, and this wasn't just die. They were brutally, the first time
he saw it, too, on the webcam footage. Yeah,
brutally murdered, man. I mean, Winter Soldier, yeah, pulled no punches. No. So when you see your parents dying and you're looking at the guy right in front of you that did it, yes, it doesn't matter what, you're going to lose your mind.
Yeah, 20 years ago, he killed his parents. And also, too, I think one of Tony Stark's downward spirals, not only was knowing the dichotomy of having Winter Soldier looking at you and you're seeing your parents kill her face to face, but knowing that Captain America, your ally, Steve Rogers,
he knew
information from you for so long. And so began Civil War.
The Civil War, yeah.
And so you kind of get Civil War about 3/4 of the way in. You get a nice 20-minute epic battle scene with Spider-Man and all that.
Amazing.
And towards the end, you kind of get another Civil War battle.
Yeah.
A battle of honor with Tony Stark and stuff like that. And I have to say, I was going in, I was like, oh, God, you know, I'm going to see, this is going to be like Batman vs. Superman. I'm going to see Superman. I'm going to see Captain America die.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, with Tony Stark finding all that information out and knowing that Winter Soldier did this and then knowing that Steve Rogers hid this information, honestly, you get a kind of a second Civil War battle at the end of the movie. So it's kind of another Civil War, and then you get another Civil War battle between actually Captain America and Iron Man, which is kind of interesting. And
I was a little scared going into the movie because I didn't want this to be civil dispute, right? I didn't want them to be all buddy-buddy. And even while they were fighting, you know, crack some jokes and stuff. And they did, you know, during the big battle. But this was Civil War. This was, I mean, they were going for blood, especially that final battle when Cap was fighting Tony Stark. That was a bloody fight. That was a dark fight, and that was an intense fight. And I'm so glad they did that. They pulled no punches. And that's what I wanted.
Yep, that's it. I couldn't agree more. And so one more reference that we was able to pull out, and this is probably one of the last Easter egg nuggets that we were able. I know Carlos is saying that Civil War is not over. We know that. Civil War, Carlos, I don't know if you saw this or not, but we actually picked up Civil War Part 2. We're right on top of it, my friend. So we know exactly where you're at. So movie references near the end, Tony Stark calls Bucky the Manchurian Candidate. Now, if you've never seen this old movie, and they actually redid the movie back in like 2004, I think it was, it's a reference to Richard Condon's 1957 novel of the same name. Now, what is this about? So it's about Americans being brainwashed and used as assassins, much like Mr. Winter Soldier. So it was kind of a nice nod to some former works of that. So it was kind of a nice little
good throwback.
Manchurian Candidate. And it's actually a really good movie. Both the old school one in 1962, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, starred Frankie Sinatra.
Ooh.
Mr. Sinatra in there. And Lawrence Harvey. And it was adapted in 2004 with Denzel Washington and Liev Schreiber. So be sure to check that out.
Nice.
There he is. Look at that. He's already got the man, Mike. Dude, I'm telling you, he's like on Johnny on the spot.
He is on point tonight. Love it.
Man, I can't believe we went through all this fast. This is crazy. End scene credits, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you actually have two, just like any other Marvel movie, and I was yelling at the people as they were leaving the theater. they didn't listen to me. But the first one, Winter Soldier, man, he's going back on ice.
Yeah.
Right? But the cool thing about that scene, yeah, he volunteered to go back on ice, which I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that scene for me is they're in Black Panther's territory, right? They're in the Wakandan forest. And this is kind of it's getting you ready for Black Panther's solo film. And Wakanda is the home of vibranium as well. Yeah. So this is, could the Avengers be stationed there? Could Captain America be an ally with Black Panther now? I mean, this just opens up so many possibilities.
Could a soldier be a part of the Black Panther movie franchise when Black Panther comes out, because now Winter Soldier is in Wakanda, frozen.
Yes, he is. Oh, that's amazing.
Now, just saying, stay with me here for a minute. He lost his arm. Maybe he'll get a vibranium arm.
Oh.
Think about it. That'd be kind of
cool. Ooh.
Yeah?
That would be pretty sweet.
Oh, he's lost.
Joe, look at you. That's, you should write. Oh, man.
God, it's a.
Oh, my God, it's a nerd nugget.
So what did you think of the Spider-Man one at the end?
I mean, that's, oh man, I'm so excited for the Spider-Man movie, guys. And I didn't think I would be this excited for Spider-Man Homecoming. But basically the final scene is Spider-Man
Homecoming,
glowing his wonderfully Stark tech made spider signal onto his ceiling.
Yeah.
And this is kind of letting you know, hey, Tony Stark's going to be in that movie. And I love their relationship in this film, and I think that's going to carry over into the next one because they have great chemistry together.
I got a question I'm going to ask the room, too. Now, I don't know if I particularly know the answer right off the top of my head, but is in the Tobey Maguire trilogy or the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, was there ever a spider signal?
I don't remember seeing one.
I don't think there was. I don't think there was.
Because I think it's really cool how that Marvel's got the production rights of Spider-Man back, that they've actually went back to their old school.
Oh. Nice.
They're going back to the roots of what made Spider-Man great. The
dorky kid.
Yes.
I'm kind of thrown off a little bit about Aunt May. She's kind of young looking, but I was thinking, well, you know, he's a teenager, so Aunt May's not going to be that old right now. So they're actually setting it up to where she's a younger Aunt May, and they're going to make multiple movies out of it. It was Iron.
And she's,
go ahead.
She's the hot Aunt May, right? That's what everybody was saying before the movie. She is the hot Aunt May, and Tony Stark even brought that up in the film. I thought that was great.
Hey, pretty fleek over here.
She's the hot Aunt May.
And so that's the end scene credits. Hopefully you guys will go back and see the film again. And some of the things that we pointed out tonight, you actually will digest those. And when you go back and see the film, you're like, oh, there it is. Oh, I get it. And it was really interesting, though. All right, so this is the first time Marvel Cinematic Universe has brought in a character from another film production company, Spider-Man. And it was cool to see Tony Stark kind of introduce Spider-Man in that way. It's like, oh, well, I have tech now that knows about others. I don't want to say superhumans, but he's got this tech. And he knew about Spider-Man, Peter Parker, long before anybody else ever did. And that's how he was able to track. So he's tracking not only just Spider-Man, but other superheroes as well. So if he's tracking other superheroes, who is he tracking? I don't know.
Maybe some Netflix characters?
We don't know.
Don't know.
That's an option.
All right. So
you never know.
That's it. Do we have anything from the chat room? Did we miss anything? I think we're good. I think Civil War is
You just made me more excited to go see it because I haven't seen it yet.
So awesome, Lynn.
Whoa, really?
I haven't, but I am so excited to go see it. That's why I love, I don't care if there's spoilers because you guys give such a great background and point out things that you probably wouldn't catch otherwise unless you see it three or four times. Mm-hmm. So now I can like take it even in even more probably than I would have without.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, you will. Listen, you will absolutely love this movie. I have no doubts. No doubts.
It'll be amazing. And, you know, you guys, if you're seeing the movie this week and you guys want to leave us a message, make sure you can do that. We PopX does have a hotline. I'm just saying, throwing it out there. We have our own phone line. So if you go out and see Captain America Winter Soldier this week, be sure to call the PopX hotline and say, hey, Joe, I saw it. And, you know, my favorite part's this, or I like this, or I didn't like this part. We want to hear about it, good and bad. So give us a call at 850-417-7679. And just for you guys, that's 850-417-POP-X, okay?
POP-X.
You should check out next week's episode as the man right down here in the corner, Mr. Austin. Oh, yes, yes.
Hey.
Yes, Mr. Austin is going to be a very special POP-X episode 15 of Social Media. the rise of social media streaming platforms. He's involved with a really cool app on the App Store right now.
Sure.
You want to drop that right quick, Austin?
Yes, I am spawning from my Vine roots and getting involved with a brand new app. It is called Wheel. You can find that in the App Store. Just search WHEEL video. And basically what this is, it's a longer, better, more involved Vine. And the catch with this app is that you can add on to other people's videos, and it's more of a sense of community. And we're building it from the ground up, just starting. Marketing kicks in soon. Really excited about it. And I love social media. That's my game. That's what I do. That's what I love. So if you guys get a chance, maybe download the app. Let me know on next week's show what you think about it, what we could improve. Because what I do is basically I make changes, help make improvements, this and that. And it's exciting. It's really exciting.
And so next week you're going to be actually talking about like all kinds of cool stuff, like how streaming, I don't want to say maybe like Periscope, some of your competitors, but how this whole... Yeah. Snapchat, Wheel, how all of this has kind of impacted pop culture today. That's your episode next week.
Yes.
So, guys, be sure to check it out next week. Austin's going to be actually doing the script writing for that. So, it'll be awesome.
Fired up.
And he may invite somebody in his circle from Wheel or some of the application producers. And
there is always a chance that I could get some of my producer friends on. So, that could be exciting.
That will be exciting. Yes.
And
hopefully. We will see. But speaking of social media, follow us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and even Pinterest at PopXCast. It's
amazing. Beautiful. Yeah, we're so simple. Even a caveman can do it. You know, it's at PopX everywhere. You know what, guys? If you want to drop us an email throughout the remainder of the week in between shows, you can definitely do that. Email us at popxcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from our listeners because we love you guys so much. You guys are just awesome. You pour into us so much, and we thank you so much for your kind words and just for just being awesome, loyal listeners. And we really certainly do appreciate that. And also be sure to check out for all things upcoming shows, live chats, film reviews. There's actually a spoiler-free Captain America review over on PopX Cast. So if you've not seen the movie, well, too late now if you've been listening to the episode. But if you want to give that review to someone who wants to go see the movie, it doesn't break down any of the key elements of the movie. It just gives you the basic knowledge that you need to know. And so, Austin, how can they find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, you guys can find me at The Birkinator. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. It's The Birkinator. With a 3 instead of the E, I'm on Twitter, Instagram. Find me at Austin Burke on Vine and on Wheel if you decide to download it. And we'd also like to encourage all of you guys to leave us a 5-star rating and review over on iTunes and Google Play. It helps us with getting us ranked among other searches. Please leave us something beautiful, and we love you guys just as much as you hope they love us.
Oh, my God, you're just so pretty.
Well, I'm good, okay. You know. Sweet talk. Got a sweet talk.
And guys, my name is Joe Burke at RotCav. That's RotCav on the internet. That is how you can find us. I want to thank my co-host with the most, starting right down here, ladies first, Miss Lindsay Badger in the house.
Lindsay,
it's been fun
you were awesome.
With you guys tonight.
So, so nice to have a nice different presence. It's just feng shui of the cameras. Just all that.
Go watch Civil War, Lindsay.
I will. I'm excited to see it.
And I want to thank my the man, the beast of the east, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Mr. Mike Hippolito over here in the other window running the slides for us.
I'm dying.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool, dude. I don't know where he comes up with those, but those are freaking awesome.
Oh, man.
So like I said, stay tuned next week. We got episode 15. Austin's going to be headlining that, and I'm going to be sitting there helping him facilitate social media and how it's impacted pop culture. That's going to be pretty darn cool. So we may even be giving you some nuggets of information, nerd nugget, about some stuff.
Nerd nugget.
So that's it. And remember, PopX, you know what? We want to thank you guys for listening. And PopX is kind of like a tingling tree tea ointment. The more you rub it in, the better it feels. Oh, yeah. Just tingle me, baby. All right, guys. From all of us here at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. God bless. We'll see you next time. Bye.
From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blab, and YouTube at PopX Cast. Get your geek on.